Saints, let's open our Bibles up to Matthew chapter 21 this evening. We'll read verses 28 through 32. Set before us a parable of Jesus. Brings us the thought behind a brief lesson that we'll consider this evening. Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. And Jesus says, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he regretted," or repented, but we'll focus on that word regretted. There is a certain measure of extra thought to it in regards to repentance, but let's consider regretting tonight. "Afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said to him, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent." There's our term again, repent, or regret it, if we're keeping with what he said earlier. "You did not afterward relent and believe him." Let's bow our heads together and ask the Lord to guide our hearts this evening. Heavenly Father, we praise you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to be your children. We thank you, Father, that we can come to you asking you to guide our hearts and guard our minds and hearts through Jesus. We ask that you would do that as we consider your word always. Do that as we walk through this life. Do that as we engage with other people. Father, guard us and guide us always, and help us to receive that guidance and that guarding that you have on our behalf. Bless us this evening as we consider this bread of life that is your word. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm sure that I'm not alone in wanting to live regretlessly. I put this up here, and everywhere I have it in my notes, it has a little squiggly red line underneath it. I think I invented this term, regretlessly. It makes sense, though, to be without regret. I'd like to live this way. Regret being that term that I think I've probably defined it from up here before. To feel sad or repentant, as we considered. Repentant or disappointed over something that has happened or been done. Specifically, that feeling of missed opportunity or lost opportunity, something along those lines. I don't like regret. I don't like feeling that an opportunity has been lost. And oftentimes it does lead to repentance. And I'm not trying to diminish the repentant part of this, because that is a part of it. But looking at it as it's translated here, this one regretting answering his father that way, feeling like he missed opportunity, we're going to kind of focus on that lesser consideration that does lead to repentance oftentimes, that changing course, that changing of our minds, changing of our hearts, certainly changing of our thoughts, to be obedient. Regret is something that the Lord uses for us. Oftentimes, pain leads to great regret. Well, if you eat something bad, or if you get into something that harms you, or you step the wrong direction and you, well, break an ankle, twist an ankle, or you eat something wrong and you have a stomach ache or something, you have a regret based on that pain. But oftentimes, the regret that we feel spiritually or from a certain circumstance or a lost opportunity can lead itself to pain. Regret can lead to a great regret, great disappointment, great pain itself. We can do something that we wished that we hadn't done, or vice versa. We're tormented by that decision for whatever reason. Again, it can be something rather mundane, or it can be something that has eternal ramifications, and that regret sets in. The Lord can convict us with that, and it can weigh on us and burden us. I don't like feeling that. I think it's a justified response oftentimes. That doesn't mean that I enjoy it, and so I'd like to not feel regret. Jesus leans into that feeling here when he presents this parable here. Jesus is teaching the chief priests and elders. You can look earlier in the chapter where you can see that he has them as an audience there, and he's convicting them of their error and convicting them of their rejection of him. And his point to them, just so that we can just touch on that here, his point in bringing this parable, what he was saying to them when he presented these two sons, one saying, "I will not go," but he ends up going. The other one saying, "I will go," but he ends up not going. He's comparing these ones. He's comparing these ones in their rejection. The publicans and harlots, well, in their sinful practices and their sinful behavior and their reprehensible actions that people held as being defiling and wrong, and rightfully so, they yet enter into the family of God because they repent of those things. They regret those things, and despite that heap of sin that they demonstrated in their life, they regret, repent, go to the Lord, change that heart, change that rejection of the things of God, and they find themselves in the kingdom of heaven before those chief priests and elders do. They are those priests. They're more likened to that one that said, I will go, but didn't do the will of God. How come? How so? Because despite their sounding right, and despite their sounding holy, and despite their sounding willing to follow the will of God, we understand, and God first and foremost understood what was in their hearts, and recognized that while they could bear out, perhaps quote all the scripture, perhaps quote all of the truths that were presented in the Word of God in that time, they didn't live out that testimony. They didn't bear out that obedience towards Him. Regret was an emotion that moved the harlots, moved the publicans. Regret is something that has moved me to repentance. I imagine regret, to some measure, has moved you to repentance, and it continues to move people today into taking action to follow God. That being said, even though it can move us in the right direction, as I said a moment ago, I'd much rather live regretlessly, not feeling that loss of opportunity, because that would mean that I took advantage of every opportunity to seek the Lord and to obey the Lord. We're going to look at it this morning, and we're going to combine those two responses, those two sons, combine their reactions and bring out the appropriate response that we should have to the Lord in order that we might, learn to live regretlessly. We need to do as both of those sons did. The first part of doing that would be, let's start with what the second son did. There in verse 30, the father came to the second and said likewise. He said, go work in my field. And he answered and said, I go, sir. When God makes his desire clear to us, when God makes his will for us plain, and sometimes it takes a little bit of time in seeking him, sometimes it takes a little bit of effort in seeking him, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, it's the honor of kings or the glory of kings to search out a matter. Sometimes it takes some time to do that, to get his will, to understand what his desire is for this certain circumstance. Other times we know, saints, it's not hard at all to know. The youngest of believers can tell you how God feels about certain things very plainly from Scripture. So when he makes his will clear to us, when he makes his desire, his order, his command, his wish for us, when he makes it clear, then we want to respond obediently. We want to respond immediately, as soon as we know it. Again, he sometimes gives us time to learn those things and to understand, confirm what he's saying. But once we know, once we have gotten it clearly what he has from us, then we need to, we need to do what he says. He said, son, go work today in my vineyard. That's what he said in verse 28. When he makes himself clear, when the studying of the word has been completed and we get that, this that we have focused on, or this that we have sought the Lord about, this that we have looked for his direction in, and when finally it clicks, and by the studying of the word and the seeking of the Spirit and the direction of the Spirit, it clicks for us, then it needs to be solid in us. And in those times when we don't have to sit and seek, once again, when we know, this is what God has for me in this circumstance and in this context, all we have to do is just make the answer clear and to do it immediately. And that's what this one said. He said, right? He said, I go, sir. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow after you. I know this. In Genesis chapter 24, we kind of see it in practice, don't we? In actuality. When Abraham's servant had been sent to Laban's people, and he was looking for a wife at Abraham's direction, looking for a wife for Isaac, and he came to those people where Rebekah was at. He spoke to Laban and the rest of her family there, and the Lord had made plain that Rebekah was the one for Isaac. The servant knew that, and he's like, I need to talk to the family here, and I'm going to head off. And look what he said to them. He said to them in verse 56, Genesis 24, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way." It's clear to me that this is what he has for me. It's her. She is the one for Isaac. He's made it clear. He recognized it. "The Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master. Let me complete the work that he has for me." So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And evidently the Lord had spoken to her as well, because she said, "I will go. I will go." Simple as that. Oh, but at least 10 days is what Laban had said. No, she says, "I will go." She wasted no time. She had an assurance, it seems. She knew what she was supposed to do, and so she didn't have to seek it out any further. Doesn't matter what my family tells me. It doesn't matter what seems right and what seems prudent to these other ones. I will go. When Isaiah was given that vision of the Lord on his throne, and he, saw a measure of the glory of God, not in his fullness, obviously, because he survived, what did he say? In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And Isaiah knew what the answer should be. He didn't have to consider it anymore. He had that understanding in that moment. Then he said, "Here am I. Send me." And the Lord did. "Go and tell this people," he said. "Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive." And we know how it turns out. Isaiah did go and tell his people. He did go and tell the Lord's, rebellious ones, who continued to not see, who continued not to hear. Saints, if we want to live regretlessly, then we, when we know what the Lord has directed us, our answer should be obedient, and it should be immediate. That comes from certainly seeking the word, but sometimes we already know it. The next step, certainly then, is to do as the first brother did. To say as the second brother did, but to do as the first brother did, and that is to go. Go doesn't mean necessarily geographically, though it can. It just means go and obey. The first brother, in verse 29, he answered and said, "I will not," but afterward he regretted it and went. He felt regret. Don't know exactly how much time it took for him to feel that regret. Don't know exactly if it struck him in that moment. Don't know why he would say no to his father in that moment. Perhaps he was upset. Perhaps he was ignorant to exactly what it would entail. Perhaps he just didn't want to go. Whatever the case might be, there are any number of reasons why we would tell the Lord, "I will not do what you're asking me to do." But none of those reasons are good reasons. If we simply respond, then, immediately, we remove that entire "I will not" piece of it. Because we don't want to have that attitude. We don't ever want to have that position that Jonah had. We don't ever want to even, we don't even want it to cross our minds that we would tell the Lord, "I will not." There's a difference between saying no and saying, "Can I take a minute? Can I take a minute? I'm struggling to understand this. I need a little bit further here." If we're obedient to the Lord, though, and we know, if we don't need to take a minute and we know this is what he has for me, then sometimes it's on-the-job training. And we simply say, "Okay, I will go and trust you to show me what it is that you want me to see as I go." Remove the entire "I will not" piece of it, saints. That's not part of our vernacular when it comes to approaching the Lord. We shouldn't say that ever. And we can, if we do that, we can remove the entire afterward piece. We don't need to have that time of waiting and seeking if we know what it is that he wants us to do. If we know how it is he wants us to feel, we don't have to wait for that afterward. And if we remove those things away, then we remove the entire "he regretted it" piece. There will be no regret when we answer in obedience and in immediacy. It's just as simple as that. Which is the point of this lesson tonight, to remove the regret from our lives. And so what would that account have sounded like if instead of them each taking their own place, if we did what each one of them did right? Well, it would have sounded something like this. A man came and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And he answered and said, "I go, sir," and went. Isn't that so much better? Isn't that so much cleaner? Isn't that so much godlier? Absolutely it is. No negative response, no time wasted, and no regret, saints. I want to live regretlessly. I want you to as well. Know the will of God as soon as you can. Sometimes that comes simply by knowing His Word. Sometimes it comes by seeking the Spirit. Sometimes it comes by waiting and being still and letting Him tell us. But we need to keep the Spirit of God close. We need to keep His Word close, because when He calls and He directs and He leads and He makes plain and a context or event takes place before us, we can know immediately. When you know that He's telling you, and I have a list of different things He might tell you. I won't give you all of them, but if He tells you to go, if He tells you to stop, if He tells you to trust Him, if He tells you to rest, if He tells you to get to work, if He tells you to speak, if He tells you to hold still, if He tells you to hold quiet, if He tells you quit, anything else He might tell you, then answer and obey immediately, and you will live regretlessly.